here's your host, Zach Gelb.
Live from the place where you're not overly ostentatious, Mandalay Bay Convention Center in Las Vegas. Welcome on in. Day number three of the Zach Gelb Show on the road in Vegas on Radio Row across all the great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM Channel 158, the free Odyssey app, and of course streaming on YouTube, youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio. This place is a madhouse. This place is a zoo right now, and it is only Wednesday, and we have three shows still to go. What an action-packed scene this is in the Mandalay Bay Convention Center. Whole lot of guests stopping by today. Justin Jefferson is going to join us. Roma Dunze, who's going to probably be a top 10 pick, maybe even a top 5 pick in the NFL draft. Mark Ingram, Max Crosby, Fletcher Cox. You want me to keep on going? Sean Alexander is going to stop by. Tony Pollard of the Dallas Cowboys. And then also, this one I'm really excited for, the rapper Lil Dicky is going to stop by as well. So we welcome you in. We got a whole lot cooking today. You can follow along all the action behind the scenes on social media, at Zach Gelb on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter. That's ZACHGELB. Make sure you follow for everything that we're doing on the road, whether it's going to the Vegas Golden Knights game last night. And man, I know that sometimes nationally you can't talk a lot of hockey on a national radio show, but if you know me, you know, and I do it sometimes, and the boss is like, oh, stop talking about hockey. What are you doing? Nobody cares about hockey. Well, I'm a big hockey fan, and being able to see that stadium and being in the building for the Edmonton Oilers with Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, and you have the Vegas Golden Knights as well, and that matchup and the pregame theatrics and the scene, it was just absolutely unbelievable. It was really cool inside that arena last night, and it was just absolutely wonderful. And I thank Sully. Obviously, people know Sully if you listen to CBS Sports Radio. Heck, maybe Sully should be our next program director. I don't think anyone would be opposed if we made Sully the next program director of CBS Sports Radio, but he really hooked it up at the hockey arena in Las Vegas, and there's only more chaos that's going to happen all throughout the week. I am going to the game on Sunday, so looking forward to that between the San Francisco 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs. And quite frankly, you know, after being in Vegas for the last 3-4 days, I said this on Monday, and I thought maybe that this conversation was going to change just like a little bit, and maybe we would start to hear more and more people start to pick the 49ers. But let's be real. The Chiefs are an underdog, and it don't feel like the Kansas City Chiefs are an underdog, because every single person that we talk to, man, I love the 49ers. You know, Brock Purdy's a fun story. Christian McCaffrey is absolutely sensational. We know what Deebo Samuel could do as well. George Kittle, that defense, which hasn't played great the last two games, but we know what that defense is capable of. Everyone says nice things about the 49ers, but when push comes to shove, it's you can't bet against 15. You can't bet against Patrick Mahomes. And maybe I will be an idiot, maybe I will be a moron, and maybe I will end up being a dope once Sunday does come and go, but I do believe, and I've seen this story before, when everyone, and I mean every Tom, Dick, and Harry, they line up on one side, we as people usually get things wrong. And when everyone is saying Kansas City, Kansas City, Kansas City, Kansas City, Kansas City, I know it's tough. And really tough to pick against 15. It is Brady-like when you enter a big name game now, where it's death taxes, and the Chiefs are going to wake up bare minimum in an AFC championship game. But when you take a glance and you see that they're now in a Super Bowl after all this time of being being doubted, to still see them be here, it just makes it tougher and tougher. And oh, I love this guy, my guy, Justin Jefferson, joining us on CBS Sports Radio. And the reason why I love Justin Jefferson is because I'm just very simple. I don't like when people lie to me. And I've had a lot of times where there will be people that they get drafted and they should have gone a lot earlier. Yeah. And they go, oh, I'm going to be the best wide receiver. All those teams are going to pay. Yeah. And 9 times out of 10, wrong, 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 for sure. Wrong. Justin Jefferson was right. I will never forget that conversation that I had with you right after the draft. And now, look, I don't think there's a better wide receiver in the NFL, let alone the guys that got drafted in front of you.
Crazy. Crazy. It's been a crazy journey, man. My career has been going very fast, you know, ever since I stepped foot into the league. But I, just like you said, I'm very blessed, you know, very blessed to be in a situation that I'm in, to have the courage and have the confidence in myself to tell you, you know, that I'm going to be that number one receiver, and to you know, and do what I say, you know. So it's been great, you know. It's great to be here, great to be in front of you right now, great to see you, dog. So it's been a journey, man.
And Justin Jefferson, of course, on behalf of Sleep Number, once again, the greatest care package that I ever got 2-3 years ago. They sent me like 6-7 items right before the Super Bowl. I still use every item, and I have friends and family. They
change
go,
your life.
Hey, can I get this? Can I get that? I'm like, no, I'm selfish. I'm not giving you
crap. I'm selfish.
All right? This is me.
Oh, man, Sleep Number has changed it, man. I mean, just the ability to track the amount of sleep that you're having, the recovery process.
Yeah.
I mean, everything has been great working with them. 80% use it for a reason. 80% of NFL players use the bed for a reason. So, hey, might as well go get one.
Bro, you're all business this year. That's what I'm I sense a different Justin Jefferson. You've had fun the last three, 4 years.
Sure.
I'm not saying people are doubting you, but with the injury, you guys didn't make the playoffs after the great year a year ago in the regular season.
Yeah.
I think they're, and this is scary for the rest of the NFL. I wouldn't want to be a defensive back. I think there's a different version of Justin Jefferson coming.
Oh, and then I didn't finish the season last year. Mm-hmm. 8 weeks off. And I still got 1,000 yards. Oh, man.
That's how you know you're a bad dude.
Oh, man. Oh, trust me. Next year is definitely, hey, I can't wait. I can't wait to step foot on the field. I'm definitely, you know, coming into this offseason with a different mindset, of course, wanting to be healthy throughout the whole season. There's definitely different things that I'm, you know, going to be tending to do and, you know, work on. As I go on throughout the offseason to make sure that I'm out there on that field every single week. So I'm excited, man. I'm excited to get back out there, excited to see what happens with, you know, of course, our decision with our quarterback and what we're going to do for the rest, you know, of the season. So I'm excited.
It feels like Kirk's not coming back. That's just the way that it feels. Do you feel that too?
I have no idea. I mean, I know I talked to Kirk, of course. I know Kirk wants to be with his team. I know that he has done everything in his power to be out there and to do well for us, and he's been doing great for us. You know, he's been you know, putting up tremendous numbers for us. So I would like to have him back. Of course, having that connection with him for 4 years, you know, it's tough to regain that with, you know, a new quarterback. So it's something that I definitely going to be in thought. And
it feels like it's a breakup. Like, you don't want it to end. It's good time, but it feels like it's coming to an end.
I hope not, man. Of course, you know, having that connection with him was great. And, of course, I wouldn't have be in this position without, you know, having him throw me the football. So I would like to have him back. Of course, we're going to see how everything goes. But, you know, hopefully he stays. Hopefully he stays.
So you made a pretty legendary prediction on my show. I'll make a prediction right now. I'm just seeing it. I see Russell Wilson next year as your quarterback.
Really?
That's who I think's going to be quarterback in the Vikings.
Why?
What
makes you say it?
It ain't going to be Denver. We know that. The coach doesn't want him there.
For sure.
I think Justin Fields would have been a good fit for you guys, but we know the Bears aren't going to trade him in division.
Yeah.
So maybe it ends up being a Michael Penix Jr. You go in the draft and get someone. But I think you guys need a veteran. You guys have a good team. You, KJ, Hockenson, Addison.
Yeah.
There's offensive pieces. You guys got to take advantage of this window now, especially with Detroit just did.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I'm right there with you. You're preaching to the choir. You know, I definitely understand everything that's going on. Understand, you know, this is our time to really do what we need to do. Of course, you know, build up on a little bit on our defense and get a couple key pieces. But I'm right there with you. You know, to having a veteran is definitely more comfortable, you know, more reliable. Especially they've been in that situation. They've been in, they had the experience of being in an NFL game. You know, you never really know what you're going to get out of a rookie quarterback. You know, he could be, you know, the best, or he could be the worst, and it could be a bust. You know, so you never really know what can happen. There's a lot of things that, that can go on by getting a rookie quarterback, but at the end of the day, you know, I'm still going to be myself.
By
know,
the way,
regardless,
you are smart too, because you know everyone around here. They're like, we do a different interview whenever you come on, but everyone's going to ask you certain questions.
For
you kind of tricked me, because you brought up the quarterback first. You don't even allow me time then to talk about your contract. What the heck is going on with the contract? Because it's stupid that they haven't already got the contract done.
Yeah, I mean, I'm right there with you, man. I definitely am ready to you know, sit down with them and sign a piece of paper and, you know, label me as one of the top paid in the game. So
I said this last offseason. I said, get it done last offseason, because I don't want to get you upset. And I know you like Minnesota. I know you like the Vikings. But I don't want you thinking about maybe going somewhere else.
No, you know, that's really not really on my mind. At the end of the day, I'm just playing football. No matter where I'm at, no matter who I'm playing for, I'm going to give it my all out there on that field. And I will continue to play the game of football, which I know. So it doesn't matter, you know, who's going to be throwing me the football, or, you know, who would I have on my front and my back. I will always, you know, give the game all that I have and just continue to be myself. You never change, you know, no matter how much money I have or the fame that I have. Just being myself.
Well, you already got all the swag. You don't need more money to have more swag.
Come
on, I'm surprised you're not wearing the sunglasses. I'm actually annoyed. I had sunglasses in my backpack. I was ready to rock and roll with the sunglasses. I was annoyed.
Nah, not the
That's
sunglasses.
That's what I'm saying.
Today.
You're all business this
year. Yeah, I'm business today.
You even
I'm
got the manicure
today.
Done as well.
Yeah,
come
man.
On.
You know, man. You know, I gotta be on my P's and Q's. Gotta be business, you know, aware. I'm getting older, man. I'm getting older.
Yeah, you
contracts
be
coming.
Side.
Contracts coming. You know, just trying to elevate a little bit.
Who are the five best receivers in the NFL, if you had to list them?
Of course, I'm always going to label me as number one. I definitely would say Tyreek Hill is number two. Number three, I would say Devontae Adams. Number four, I would say Ja'Marr Chase. Number five, I'll say Stephon Diggs.
Okay. Cooper Kupp. What he did this year was really damn impressive. But then also, Puka Nacua, too.
Oh, yes.
Like, what they just did this year, we know where you are at.
Yes.
I know what Addison is capable of.
Yes.
What do you think you guys could be as a 1-2 punch?
I mean, Addison has definitely been phenomenal. I mean, just really from me going down and him having to be that number one receiver, you know, him making plays, him having to take on a whole different role than what he was expected to take on. So I was definitely, you know, happy to be on the sideline during that point to really coach him up a little bit more, to be that, you know, person that he can lean on a little bit more, because Adam was that type of player for me.
You're the vet now.
Yeah, for sure.
You know,
and it's crazy.
Wild.
It's very crazy because, you know,
that
I'm only in four.
That conversation we had felt like a day ago.
Exactly. So it's kind of crazy that, you know, now I'm on the other side of things. You know, he's kind of leaning on to me to, you know, asking me different questions.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's expecting different things.
We're going to be talking about you retired in 6-7 years, Hall of Famer, you know, maybe Super Bowl champ.
Facts,
man. You're going to start to get gray hair.
Time is flying, man. Hey, don't remind me, man. Time is flying, man. But I'm just, you know, I'm always grateful to be in this situation that, you know, he wants to learn from me. He wants to be, you know, that type of player. And I'm just, you know, happy to be healthy right now, to you know, go into this next phase of my career.
It's exciting.
It's very exciting. So, hey, I'm ready. Yeah. I'm ready.
By the way, Mike, can I get my poster, please, if you don't mind? We got to have
a fun,
entertaining question
of course.
At the end. We all know it's Taylor Swift. We all know it's Travis Kelce. We're putting you on the spot. Are they going to eventually get engaged one day? Are there wedding bells coming in their future?
I can say yes. I feel like they're good for each other.
See, that was another smart decision. No one said no yet.
I don't really like how much the NFL has been boosting it.
Okay.
I feel like it should just let it be at this moment. I understand it's a money thing, and, you know, it's Taylor Swift.
It's wild because the NFL doesn't like ever genuflect for to anyone. Anybody.
For anyone.
And it's kind of worth it for her because they don't need more people watching. They don't need more money, but she brings it.
Oh, yes.
She brings it.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. All right. Every time, you know, someone scores or make a play,
yeah.
she's on that television. So they're definitely making their money worth having her on that television screen.
Who wins the game?
Is Taylor Swift going to be there?
No, yeah, she's performing in Japan the night
Kansas
before.
Kansas City.
Is there a script? Kansas. Is this rigged?
Hey, man.
Do you believe that?
I don't know. I'll tell you one thing. I did not ever expect Travis Kelce to be dating Taylor Swift.
Just knew you were going to be the best wide receiver.
Yeah, I that one just flew over my head. I didn't see that one in the script, but yeah. Hey, you gotta kind of vote for it. Both for Kansas City.
Yeah.
I mean, Pat Mahomes also has been doing great. You know, he has been through so many different, you know, battles, being in Buffalo, being in Baltimore, but he always seemed to break through and do what he needed to do.
All right, I know you got to run. Sleep number, what do you got cooking today?
Oh, the best bed possible.
Now, you've been always sleeping well lately.
Hey, that's been the key to it.
Well rested, you look.
That's been the key to success, man. I've been, you know, it's been a journey just getting back on that field. So the recovery process, having that sleep every single day, waking up rejuvenated, ready to go, ready to attack the physical therapy that I was, you know, doing. So it's definitely been a great partnership. I'm definitely excited with the new stuff, the new commercials that we have been coming out with. But the partnership has been great, and I'm definitely happy to be here.
He is my favorite wide receiver in the NFL. He is Justin Jefferson. Justin,
thank you,
great
my man.
To see you.
Appreciate you. Same here.
There you go. Justin Jefferson, Roma Dunze going to join us next. This is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Now back to the Zach Gelb Show.
All righty, rocking and rolling from Las Vegas, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. My next guest, dog. That's what he is. Dude, this dude was unbelievable, and he's had a great career at Washington. You know, when we booked this a few weeks ago, Roma Dunze is here sitting to my left on behalf of Sharpie. I was like, oh, yeah, he's going to be a top 10 pick. And now I'm reading the mock drafts. I'm like, he could be a top 5 pick. I thought it was going to maybe be like 7 or 8. It may be sooner than that. But Roma Dunze, he just had a sensational season at Washington. One of my favorite stories of the year with Kalen DeBoer. Michael Penix Jr. is here with us. Roma, appreciate the time. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm back in my hometown. So to me, you know, all you guys are visitors in my spot. So, you know, I'm back home and I'm excited to be able to do all these different things. And, you know, I'm out here with Mike as well and Sharpie. So I'm having a lot of fun with it.
You know, it's so funny to me, right? You had a great season. Your team had a great season this year. You make it to the national championship game. And it's so stupid, like, what these events become and all the media coverage and all the attention. And how many times people just messed up and butchered your name and weren't even, like, in the right ballpark. Yeah. And you had fun with it, though, because some guys, you know, I don't blame them if they take that personally.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, I know my name's been, you know, mispronounced ever since I was young. It's a tough one. So it was funny seeing some of the bigger names, like, just completely, like, butchered. It was like, oh, my
God. It was like Stephen A. I think you went after, right?
Yeah, there was a little bit of Stephen A. I think Scott Van Pelt messed it up.
Oh, that was the one on Twitter.
Yeah, on Twitter. But he came back, and on Twitter he was like, my bad, man. He was real professional about it. So it was funny. And then there was one that was just that ESPN put out. It was just absolutely insane. I have a screenshot of it, but it's just funny to me. And, you know, it just kind of fed into the realm of, like, you know, they still don't know, you know, about Washington football, and they don't know about us, so need to go out there and do more. So it's fun.
Well, that was the crazy part to me, and I'm not just saying this because I got the prediction right. I picked you guys to win the Pac-12 before the start of the season, and even when you guys already beat Oregon, which was a great close game the first time, it was, oh, you're a 9.5-point underdog going into the Pac-12 championship game, even against Texas after you beat Oregon twice. You're an underdog. I made some good money in that Texas game because I was like, all right, even if they lose, they're not going to lose by more than six and a half
right.
points. It made no sense why everyone kept on doubting you guys this year.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, you know, I think you pay close attention, and I appreciate you for that. You know, you knew the story of the team. You know the previous season, what we had, and just the few misclicks that kept us from, you know, going super far last season as well. So having the whole squad back this season with new improved improvements, you know, we knew how far we were going to go. So it was laughable for us to see, you know, people continue to doubt us. And and on that stage. But it was fun. It just added more fuel to the fire. And when we won those games, it was a little bit, you could shove it in their face.
You may have had a different perspective on this Roma Dunze if you were coming back to Washington, because that's like a personal thing when the coach leaves. You know, guys got to do what's in the best interest for them, right? Just like what you're doing in the best interest for you and what other people will do. It's business. It's part of it. But if you're someone at Washington, and I know it's a changing landscape in college football, I understand why players would be upset. You'd rather be upset that a coach is leaving than saying,
absolutely,
yeah, you know, good job that this guy's leaving. Kalen DeBoer is phenomenal. When you got that kind of news and you saw that he was going to Alabama, how'd you kind of process it?
Oh, man, it hurt. It hurt me, honestly, because I thought, you know, I thought he was going to be there for a long time. And I thought, you know, he was going to continue to build something special. And I just felt for Washington because, you know, with a head coach leaving, there's just so much uncertainty and you never know what's going to happen. But, you know, I was excited, you know, for the future in the same realm because, you know, University of Washington is going to get a great coach, and they have a great coach, yeah. Coach Fish, and I'm excited for that new staff as well. So it was bittersweet, you know, new beginnings and things are ending, but, you know, I think Washington football is going to get it done regardless.
We all change jobs. It's exactly. It's cutthroat in all businesses. It's part of it, but to see, right, Jed Fish, DeBoer leaves, then Jed Fish, Arizona people talking about them being a playoff team next year, then he goes to Washington, it's like, Arizona, your season's over even before it started. It's a wild time in college football.
Wild, yeah. Just the rotation of coaches. I mean, that's why, you know, it's exciting to be able to see, you know, the opportunities for the players to finally be able to have some say in it too. You know, being able to be in the portal and be in a spot where they feel like they're comfortable and they're able to have success. So, man, college football, there's no regulations. It's like the Wild Wild West with, you know, NIL and people being able to leave without any you know, repercussions. It's crazy, but it's exciting. That's kind of the feel of college football, right? It's exciting. It's new. You never know what's going to happen, and it's definitely not, you know, scripted in any way.
Talking to Roma Dunze right now. A few years ago, we just had Justin Jefferson on right before you came on. He came on this show right after he got drafted, and he goes, the teams that passed up on me, they're going to pay. I'm going to be the best wide receiver out of this draft class in the NFL. What type of player do you think you could be? Because this is, on paper, an awesome early wide receiving draft class.
Right. Yeah, no, there's a bunch of great wide receivers in the draft this class. And I think, you know, we all provide, you know, different skill sets. And I think, you know, I mean, unique in that way as well. I think I'll come into the league and have an immediate impact. You know, I'm looking to come into the league to be a Hall of Famer. And I'm not just looking to be, you know, one of those one-time names that people heard about having a good season. I'm looking to come in and make a great impact. I want to win a Super Bowl. I want to do big things. So, you know, my work ethic and the way I'm approaching it, I want to make that impact heavy because people have been able to do it. Like you said, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase are able to come in early and have that success. So I'm looking to go along that same path.
Let's say I'm an NFL general manager. I'm interviewing you. We're at the Combine. Why should I take Roma Dunze? Why should I draft him over Marvin Harrison Jr.?
I think I'm the number one wide receiver. I can't, you know, speak to any of Marvin's weaknesses or strength, but I think, you know, I provide a versatility. I can play inside. I can play outside. I go attack the football. You know, all the things on the field from a wide receiver standpoint. I think I provide, you know, a unique skill set and a special prospect in that realm. But also my off the field stuff. You know, I'm a guy that's going to be in that locker room encouraging other guys. You know, looking to make the team better as a whole because I know it's a team sport. You know, regardless of how good I am, you know, it's about, you know, the O-line doing their job and the quarterback doing his job and everybody being on the same page as well as the defense as well. So, and that including in the community as well. I'm looking to make an impact wherever I go on a bigger scale than just football. So I think all those aspects.
Tell me what you're doing today on behalf of Sharpie.
I'm here today with Sharpie. They got me out here in my fresh, you know, Adidas collab.
This
with
is nice.
It's nice, right? It's nice. So they don't just do a great job with the collab. They do a great job with their pens and their markers. And you know, I remember having the sniff Sharpies back in the day. So it's super exciting to be able to work with them. They got me here with the S gel pen, super smooth, super silky, and it doesn't bleed, it doesn't smear, and it's what I'll be using to sign my first NFL contract, and they'll be able to be right there along me with all the contracts I'll be signing in my rookie year. So I'm super excited to be partnering with them.
Well, it's funny, I have a Sharpie right here. We have a poster board. We've been having people sign this all throughout the week.
What's on this thing?
Will they get engaged eventually? Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift. Do you think we're going to the wedding bell season here?
Yes. Okay. Yes. I'm on the yes squad. You know, I'm on the yes squad.
I'm waiting for someone to say no.
Say no.
No one's had all these tough NFL players, soon to be stars. Yeah. No one's saying no. A few maybes in the middle, but we'd love you to
okay,
sign this.
Right on.
And best of luck. We appreciate you jumping on board with us today. And
thanks.
Man, seriously, what a great season you guys had. The last thing that I'll just ask you, is it just surreal? Like, we're sitting here, you're getting ready for the NFL draft. You just were in the national championship game, and now you're getting projected as like a top five pick. It's got to be crazy how quickly life moves by.
It's crazy. It's crazy. And this year, I mean, it's just been so crazy. Just the roller coaster of, you know, the season and all the different emotions that that brings, going straight into training, going straight into, you know, seeing draft projections here and there, being in the first round. And, you know, it's a dream of mine, and it's exactly where I want to be. So it's awesome, and I'm just taking it all in step by step,
yeah.
But, you know, continuing to stay grounded and do the things that got me to this point in the first place. So I find peace in that, and, you know, through my support system, I'm able to get a lot of support in that way. So, man, I'm just super grateful, super excited to be where I'm at.
Well, good luck. Nothing but the best. Appreciate you doing
this.
Thank you. He is Rome Odunze. This is Zach Gelb Show, Coast to Coast on CBS Sports Radio. Mark Ingram going to be stopping by in 5 minutes.
Now back to the Zach Gelb Show.
All righty, rocking and rolling inside the Convention Center, Mandalay Bay, Las Vegas, getting set for the Super Bowl. What a show. First 40 minutes in the books. Justin Jefferson was awesome. Rome Odunze, sensational as well. And now joining me is Mark Ingram, and he's here today on behalf of the American Gaming Association. And I'm not going to lie to Mark. When it was announced that Reggie Bush wasn't coming back with Fox, I was like, man, that sucks. And then I watched the Fox pregame show, and I'm like, I know Mark Ingram was a really good talker when he was playing. I remember interviewing a few times when I was working at Sirius when you were with the Ravens. But, man, you guys have a kick-ass show. It's tough to kind of put a dent into game day. You guys are right there going at it, you two.
Man, well, I really appreciate it, man. And I just have an amazing crew around me, man, from the producers, man, to my crew on the set, man. Everybody, the whole network, man, they welcome me with open arms and they encourage me to be myself. And it was just the beginning for me, man. It was my first year, and there's so much room for growth and improvement. And I'm excited to just be able to add value to the show, man. And like, we're trying to be the best college football pregame show in the world, man. So that's what we're striving for.
Is the studio what you only want to do, or do you eventually want to get into that booth and call some games?
I did a broadcast boot camp, and I had the opportunity to, you know, try a call game on radio, try a call game on TV, and I actually did enjoy it, man. I really enjoyed it, and this is just a great starting point for me, man. I love the Big Noon. I love going to the college games. I love the atmosphere of the fans. But we'll see where it takes me, man. I'm very interested to see where this career has for me, what it has in store for me. I'm not counting anything out. I love doing Big Noon, man. I could do this for 20, 30 years,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love it. I love the Big Noon show. But the game, calling games definitely interested me, and it challenged me. So I'm interested to see with where this career path takes me.
See, the studio show is a better lifestyle.
Yes.
Because you come on in the night before, you have a good dinner.
Yes.
You know, maybe talk to a few coaches, you do the show.
Yes.
And then you're gone.
You're gone.
Maybe go to the game if you want to.
Yes.
You go do the games. Trust me, it's not like you're digging ditches or anything like that. You got to come in a few days before. You got to do a lot more
prep. It's a lot more prep. It's a lot more meticulous work, for sure.
And not only that, what always made you so good is that, like, you're just a genuine person, talker. You're an entertainer.
Thank you.
You do the broadcast stuff. You got to be a little more buttoned up.
Like, yeah, yeah.
I think just having you sling it on a Saturday, Big Noon, is awesome.
I loved it, man. And they told me to be myself. They encouraged me to be myself. And we go through the producers, and we go through the show, what we're going to be talking about. I'm able to study the games that I'm going to be talking about, so I can give great information to the audience through my eyes, through my experiences, being able to personalize it. And I'm also able to be present with my wife and my five children,
yeah.
Man. So I couldn't think of a better position and a better job to be able to transition into. It was truly amazing, blessing, man. I'm with a great network in Fox. It's a family atmosphere. My whole crew, from Urban to Rob Stone to Brady to Matt Leiner, we all gel. We're all different, but we all just have one goal in mind, and that's to be the best college football pregame show in the world. And we have the support from Fox. We have the support from our producers. And, man, it literally was I can't think of a better transition for me to be able to, you know,
transition to coming right off the field, man. It's a tremendous blessing and an honor, something I'm looking forward to and something I'm really excited about.
Mark Ingram, what was the best college atmosphere you had this year?
Man, when we went to Colorado, we went to Colorado for, it was Colorado versus Colorado State. It wasn't our
Week
game.
Three.
Yeah, it wasn't our game. Yeah,
that's what everyone was in Colorado.
But man, we had Lil Wayne out there performing. And that was an honor. I got to interview him. Oh. He's the best rapper alive. I grew up on, you know, Mixtape Wayne, Lil Wayne, like Hot Boys Wayne. You know what I mean? So that was an honor and a pleasure for me. Bronk was out there going crazy. We was partying. The whole atmosphere was just lit, man. And it was exciting, man. So I think that was the best show, the best atmosphere. But, man, you talk about going to Ohio State. You talk about going to the big house for the game, Michigan-Ohio State. That was crazy. That was special.
I was storming the field, had a few drinks, enjoying myself.
Yep.
Seeing I like Michigan. Seeing Urban on that sideline when the interception happened everyone's running past Urban.
Yep.
Hey, good to see you, coach.
Right,
bye-bye.
Right, man. It's just – man, college football is amazing, man. And be able to just experience – travel to these campuses, man. I would have did this anyway. Traveling to campuses, going tailgate, going to see the games. Like, I'm a football fan, so being able to do that for work, man. Like, man, it's a true blessing, man. And I'm thankful. I don't take it for granted. And I'm trying to, like I said, man, it's just the beginning. It was just a start for me. I plan on getting better. So much room for improvement. So much room for growth. Like you've been, like, man, you guys are the best in the world. What you do, man, and I respect that. And I'm trying to be able to be the best version of myself, be the best at being a broadcaster. So
there's just some people that you know. Like I did a 4-minute interview with you working for Sirius after a game when you were playing with Baltimore, and you could just tell right away if someone has it or they don't.
Right.
Like you could get better. But, man, after that 4-minute interview, I go, he could retire tomorrow and do this broadcast.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. It means a lot to me, for real.
Talking to Mark Ingram. So, Alabama, Nick Saban. He just left, right? He retired because it's NIL transfer portal, right?
Hey, heck no, man. He's 72 years old, man.
But he's a young 72.
Yeah, he is. But that's why he should retire, man. Selfishly, I'm sick about it and I'm hurt about it still, but... The man's 72 years old. He has so much going for him in the business side beyond football. His wife, Miss Terry, he gets to spend time with her now. His daughter, his kids, his grandkids. Like, he gets to spend time and live a normal life, and he deserves that, man. He's the best college football. He's the best college football coach in the history of the game. Seven national championships, several Heisman winners, several All-Americans, several draft picks. Like, the impact that he's had on so many young men's lives, and that they're better men, they're better in their work field, they're better husbands, they're better fathers from being under Coach Saban. And he's poured so much time into others and making others great. It's time for him to enjoy himself, man.
I love the way that you said it. And then a few answers earlier, you talked about how it still gives you time, the job, to interact with your family. Yes. A lot of times with these coaches, they're just so regimented. Coach, 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 coach. They retire when they're 80.
Yes.
And they only got like 5-6 more years of living. It's like you have changed so many lives. Sometimes you just got to be selfish and focus on yourself and enjoy it.
It's time for him to do it for himself. Miss Terry has been there for him the whole his whole time, man. That coach grind is different, man. And he gets to spend more time with her and more time with his family, man. So selfishly, I'm upset because we're losing the best coach in college football history.
That's got a good one coming in, though.
Yes, yes. We have a great one coming in. And he's been a winner everywhere he's been, and he's done a great job weathering the storm of what has happened since he has taken the job. And we're excited for him, and we know he's going to continue the standard of excellence at Alabama for us. So we're excited for him.
And, man, you talk about winning everywhere he went. I know Kalen DeBoer well. Mark Ingram here with us. When he was at Sioux Falls as a baseball player, he got like 500 or 600 on the baseball team, led the team in receiving yards, receptions, receiving touchdowns.
Yeah.
He was great there. Then Fresno had that one good season. We know what he's done at Washington. And it's right. No one can replace Nick Saban.
Right.
But I know a lot of people are going to be like, man, it's not Nick Saban this year. It's not Nick Saban this year.
It doesn't have to be Nick Saban. He just needs to be the best version of Kalen DeBoer.
And here's the best part. He's unflappable.
Yes.
I don't think Alabama, there'll be people that would doubt him. There's going to be people that are going to say, oh, man, he's not fit for the job. He's the same person every step of the way. I think he could handle the onslaught of, man, it's not Nick Saban.
Yeah, man. But like you said, man, when you're a winner, that's in your DNA. You can see that that's interwoven in his DNA. This is a coach who was just in the national championship game. What more could you ask for?
At Washington.
Yes, at Washington.
Imagine what he does at Alabama.
Imagine the resources and the backing he has in the SEC at Alabama with the Crimson Tide, man. He's just going to take off even more. So I believe in him, and I'm excited for the future with him at the helm.
How about Lamar Jackson, Mark Ingram? I thought they were going to beat Kansas City. I thought they were going to be here. Yeah. And I've been defending Lamar for years. The guy is still so young. He's won the two MVPs. But people go, what about the playoffs? And now I got nothing for people that say, what about the playoffs after this year?
Listen, man, it's a team game. You can't put it on one person. And, yes, what better? I wish he was playing in this game. And, yes, you do have to answer the questions about the playoff record. But he can get the job done. What he's able to do on a football field and the energy he brings to a football team is irreplaceable, man. And the effect he has running the football, passing the football, his leadership, man, he is a true bona fide QB1, and he should be respected as such. And unfortunately, football is a one-game elimination in the playoffs. If you have a bad game at the wrong time, you're going home. And the one thing is, it's a team game, man. You can't just blame it on Lamar Jackson.
And you know what also was? They got too cute.
Yes.
I felt like
the same team that I had watched all season long was not the team I watched 100%. In the AFC Championship game.
And not only that, it's like, I think the way that we talk about Lamar at a thrower got to them. You bring in Monk and he's going to throw the ball more. I'm fine with that. Lamar's a better passer than what people give him credit for. But it almost felt like in that AFC Championship game, they were saying, we're not going to run the ball, and we're going to try to beat Kansas City in this different way, and you can't do that against the Chiefs.
Listen.
Run the damn ball.
Be who you are. Be who you are and who you were the whole season. Mm-hmm. And you think you hold the Chiefs to 17 points at home, you think you win that game.
Absolutely.
They had so many – they had some inopportunistic turnovers. They had some bad penalties, personal foul penalties on defense – one on offense, that you just can't hurt yourself against a Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid Chiefs team, a team that is clicking at such a high level at the most important time of the season. Like, they beat themselves in that game, and you think the defense did enough, holding them to 17 points, but you think if you hold the Chiefs 17 points in Baltimore at home that you win.
No points in the second half.
Come on.
No points in the second half.
You can say some turnovers here or there, penalties here or there. They just didn't make the plays they were supposed to when the game mattered the most.
Tell me what you're doing today on behalf of American Gaming
Association. So I'm with the American Gaming Association. And as we know, legalized sports betting has transformed consumer entertainment. I mean, AJ research shows that 63 million American adults will be gambling on this Super Bowl and for a total of $23 billion. And so what I'm here to do is just encourage responsible betting. Know what you're betting. Understand the lines. Understand the odds. Have your limit. Don't go over your limit. And enjoy it. It should be an added form of entertainment. It shouldn't be stressful. It shouldn't take away your enjoyment from the game with your family. So we're just here to encourage responsible betting. And, man, may the odds forever be in your favor.
You are a part of the entertainment world now. We know you're a great entertainer. What's your perspective on Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift?
Listen, Travis is one of my good friends, man. I'm just happy for him. He looks happy. He genuinely looks happy. They both look happy. So, man, as a friend, as, you know, one of my longtime brothers, man, that we've been training together for many years, man, I wish the best for him, man. Man, he's a good dude.
Wedding bells? Huh? I think we're getting wedding bells. I think they're getting engaged eventually.
You think so?
Not after the game. Trust me, no girl wants to get it proposed to, even if it's Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, they're the megastars, on the field after the game. You got to do that somewhere private.
Man, we'll see, man. I don't know. They look happy, though.
They do.
I think they look happy.
Love there.
Yeah. So, I mean, Trav, I know him. He's a real dude, man. So I don't think he'd be putting on a facade for nobody. You know what I mean? So, man, I wish the best for him. If that's what it is, man, I wish the best for both of them.
Well, hey, I appreciate it. Thanks so much, Mark Ingram. Great to see you in person once again. He's Mark Ingram on behalf of the American Gaming Association. Yeah, we did. It is the Zach Yelp Show on CBS Sports Radio. I would say goodbye and talk to you for a little bit, but I still got to be live for the next 2 to 3 minutes.
It's all good, brother. It's all good, brother. Hold it down.
Yeah, you got it.
Appreciate you having me on the show, man.
And nice shades, too.
Yeah,
nice
you too,
glasses.
Man.
You got them Gucci's on. Yes, sir.
Big trust.
Woo-hoo. Big in the flesh. Yes, sir.
There he is. Mark Ingram joining us right here on CBS Sports Radio. It is the Zach Yelp Show, and he's 100% right. When you look back at that game and you see the AFC Championship game between the Baltimore Ravens and the Kansas City Chiefs, it was just one of those moments where they tried to dictate how you win. And you can't do that. You can't do that up against Kansas City. You can't change what you've been doing the entire season. And we sit here at the Super Bowl, and we get set for the game coming up on Sunday, and it's just one of those moments, and it's one of those situations where you're like, who could have been here? And you look back at the AFC Championship and the NFC Championship game, there was a legitimate, and I mean a legitimate case to be made for not only the Detroit Lions, with the bad decision-making and the aggressive decision-making by Dan Campbell, and there was also a case to be made for the Baltimore Ravens. But that's what happens. And for the Lions, it feels like they're going to be back. It feels like they're going to be closing in once again. But once you get there, you don't know if you're going to be able to get back. And it makes it tougher to continue to get back and to find a way to keep on being a consistent winner in this league. But for the Ravens, I know it's not just Lamar, but that's the way that we talk about it. I know Monken was absolutely horrible in that game. And Zay Flowers got the ball punched out. And you got to tip your cap to Legarius Sneed, but it seemed like that was their opportunity. All the other years, I was okay. Not that it was right, but I was okay with them coming up short and not getting to a Super Bowl. But this year against the Texans in the first half, no bueno. All right, you turn around, you play well in the second half. But then up against Kansas City, as Mark Ingram just said it, you hold the Chiefs, Samter's Chiefs, to 17 points. 17 dang points. You think you should win the game. Like, right, Samter? In that AFC Championship game, I go to you before the game, and I say, Kansas City's only scoring 17 points. You're nervous. You are absolutely nervous if I told you before that AFC Championship game you guys were only scoring 17 points.
I'd be nervous, but I wouldn't I wouldn't be completely, like, distraught, because this is what I was saying all along when we were asking questions about why people doubted Lamar Jackson.
Okay,
I
but
just
it's
said
17 dang points.
But it was also in the first half, it just felt like they were able to do whatever they wanted, long, sustained drives. And then second half was a little bit different.
You're talking about the Chiefs, you mean?
The Chiefs.
Yeah.
It just seemed like they were able to do whatever they wanted in the first
half.
They
didn't score in the second half. Look, Patrick Mahomes,
things were
he even said it.
Things were
we
ugly.
We know our defense is kicking ass. We don't got to do anything.
Right.
Because their offense couldn't do jack
right
in that game. And that's on Lamar. That's on the offensive coordinator as well. It's time to ask the pros. Where you, the listener, gets to ask us a question. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet your question at CBS Sports Radio or at Zach Gelb using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later in the show when we might answer your question. Thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Joining us next on set from the Raiders, Max Crosby.